Come on, come all, come gather round. Come hear tales both lost and found. Grab yourself a drink with a splash of lime. It's David and Michael's story time.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, new listeners and old, welcome to an exciting episode of Storytime. The one that I have completely gaslit and doesn't know what's going on today, well, that's David Miller.
And the one pouring gasoline all over himself, well, that's Michael Santel.
I'm protesting the war, David. I don't like it.
Yeah.
The only way I can get my message across.
I'm with you.
David, happy Thanksgiving to you. Happy holidays to you. How are you doing?
For the record, it's a week before Thanksgiving, but happy Thanksgiving to you.
This is technically our Thanksgiving show because I'll be gone next week in Arkansas, a.k.a. Arkansas.
Sure.
So we're not going to have time to record, but we're recording one today.
Well, then hopefully I will, in some of that time off, I will be productive enough to take my notes on the next Animorphs.
Thank you.
I was going to start yesterday, and then work picked up, and then I never got a chance, and I was going to do it today, and work picked up, and yeah, so.
It's okay. It's okay. I appreciate your time. So while you've been working and being busy, yeah. I've just been doing other things.
You still work.
So recently, our friend, Alex Facciani.
Yes, love the guy. Shout out to the Facci.
Shout outs to him. Both of his co-hosts on the Chiluminati podcast were indisposed. One hurt their butt. One was busy with vacation-y things.
Sure.
So he asked me to come on.
And never the two shall meet.
Never the two shall meet. He had me come on and he had them submit listener stories.
Okay.
On that episode, I said, this is such a great idea. I'm going to go to your Reddit and ask for more listener tales. So I went
and
over
for
to...
For the record, before we continue on that, so that podcast you're talking about, the Chiluminati podcast, go check it out if you haven't. A lot of you who are listening to us probably know us through something or another Alex Facciani was involved in. So if I remember correctly, that's like a conspiracy theory podcast.
Yes, and they
strange
have me on for
stories and weird happenings.
David, I'm here to tell you that I have officially
set up... It's your dream podcast.
David, this is our Halloween episode. We did it, David. We finally got to a Halloween episode.
And we're only a few weeks late. That's fine.
It's a Thanksgiving. It's a fall time, scary time. The outside gets dark early like a scary movie. It's all appropriate. Now, at the end of that episode, Alex was like, send in your tales of like drug trips. So it was different. Nope, we got ghost stories. We got weird things that go bump in the night. We got all the spooky things.
Wonderful.
So I have gone through that Reddit and I have pulled some of the tales we have. Literally what Alex did, I have done to you. He said, here's the stories we're going to read. Now you're up to date with everything that's happened.
Amazing. So I have in front of me on my tablet... the document you sent me, which is just a straight up like text document, basically. And from what I can see, it's split into essentially just paragraphs and they're labeled Michael or David.
Yeah, that's good. Now, we're not going to be popcorn reading.
Yeah.
One of the things you said is like, oh, popcorn reading. It's not going to be you do a line, I do a line.
Yeah,
that's
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you can. Okay, that's too confusing. You'll do a story, I'll do a story.
Okay.
And these come from a group of listeners, if you will, that are already in this mindset. They are sharing with us, which what I can believe are true stories, if you will.
So you asked them to give you their true stories of weird things, or their stories that they made up, or their stories that they heard.
I asked for true stories. I asked for weird things that have happened to people.
Okay.
So that we're reading real life accounts.
Yeah,
about
at least
these
the thing we do know about people who post on Reddit is that they'll be truthful about their experiences.
100% truthful. These are all 100% factual things that have happened to
I'm
people.
I'm taking it all at face value.
But to be fair, maybe that's part of, you know, usually we do lessons on these things.
Sure.
And I ask you stars upon thars. Maybe I ask you, does it pass the sniff test? And you
do
can
we
then,
think this really happened?
Do we think this really happened or not?
Okay, sure. That sounds like a fun. Yeah, I don't want to like rate these like bad story, no narrative, poor character development.
I mean, to be fair, the porn character development would just be us judging people's lives, which I don't like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
So I like that. Now, that being said, this is story time. So, David, what are your predictions? What do you think we're going to hear in these tales today?
I think if you ask people for their true weird stories, I feel like minimum one of them, and I don't know if you like went through the list and picked out ones that would have like different things or different themes, because I know what you told me is you haven't read the ones I'm going to read today.
Yes, and I wanted to be surprised, like I am in the Animorph stories.
So my prediction is that at least one of them is someone's going to be like, listen, this is the story about how when I was 8, I was literally in a house with a ghost, right? Like, there's going to be one of those.
For sure.
Okay, maybe someone with, like, an alien or a UFO spotting.
Oh, I hope so.
You know, and then there's the likely thing I'm thinking is like pick a cryptid and then maybe someone's going to be like, I saw that. Right. So they're going to be like, Great. Hey, this is when I found Bigfoot on a camping trip. This is when I whatever. Right. So that's my main prediction, because I don't know any. I don't even know like what their listeners are generally like. We're getting our stories from another podcast's audience.
Yeah. They're in the vein of that. Now,
I don't mean to exclude you, listener, if you happen to listen to both the Chilluminati podcast.
Yes, that is correct. Well, listen, this is going to be like a fighting game. You know what I mean? It's Chilluminati X story time. So who knows where this partnership will go?
Okay.
One thing I've never asked you, did you read scary stories as a kid? Did you like sought them out?
No, not really. My family, I mean, you know, my family grew up, and those of you who have been listening for a long time know that my family grew up very religious. We were certainly not like, we didn't do horror movies. We didn't celebrate Halloween. Like, you know, well, we wouldn't like
trunk or treat.
We wouldn't kind of, we, for a long time, it was actually kind of a fun little tradition, but our family and a few other families that were like also very God-fearing families, we would go out to like pizza at Round Table and then to the bowling alley next door to Round Table afterwards for like bowling on Halloween night. So we wouldn't be home and have to deal with trick-or-treaters and celebrating that way, but we'd be out. All the kids would get like a paper bag, like lunch bag full of just like Halloween candy so that we didn't feel left out.
Do any of the work. You didn't get to do any of the fun stuff
We didn't have costumes, didn't dress up. I never dressed up like as a kid to like school or anything like that. Not my deal.
It's so funny that you mentioned going to Round Table. I went to my friend's Catholic church, but they were like conservative with what costumes you could be. So I had to go as Merlin the Retired Wizard, and they took my hat off and they put my
gray on my face. I don't do magic anymore, God save
me. That was my old life. Now I'm just here with friends.
Now I perform miracles with the power of Christ.
But you did read that one story, that one ghost story all the time, right? Isn't the Holy Ghost a ghost story?
Like when the Holy Ghost shows up above the apostles' heads and flames, tongues of flame appear above their heads?
I just mean, if you're telling me you read a story about a zombie man that died and came back, so like there was some scary tales.
But I didn't really seek out scary stories. I mean, like really, I didn't read Goosebumps. The scariest things I really read were like the Animorphs, which is terrifying in a way, but
which is why that trauma still lives in you today. Yeah. Well,
or the Left Behind series.
Sure. Well, listen, and I mean,
I'm not going to go to bat for that series.
I don't want to put that pressure on you, but boy, am I ready for some more Left Behind series. I mean, we haven't started it, but I can't wait for you to dive into that.
I thought about that a couple of years ago. It was like, would I do that? And honestly, I don't think I could put myself through those books again. There are 7 books in that series, and I read them like as a teenager, like growing up, and I got super into them. Like I was very into the religion that I was raised in at the time.
Sure.
And I remember I was like 15, 16 or so. We were on vacation in the summer and I brought the last book, the 7th book with me. I've been reading these series for like 6 years, 7 years, however long the series have been coming out. I got halfway through the last book, closed it and went, I'm good. I'm fine.
What? You don't even know how it ends?
I did not. Well, no, I could tell you how it ends.
The rapture. God, yeah.
This is all post-rapture, so it's the second coming, the 1,000-year reign. Jesus comes back, destroys the Antichrist. All the Christians are like, yay, we were right. And then it ends.
What a boring... I mean, I guess... I mean,
I
guess
I, mean, like, I didn't look up the ending, but I promise you that's how it ends.
Yeah, well, yes, that's... Yeah, as was foreshadowed in the prequel of that story called The New Testament.
Yeah.
Well, David, let's get into our Tales of Strange...
So, do you have any predictions? I mean, you've read a couple of the story. You've read the ones you're going to read,
sure.
So...
I predict, not from mine, but maybe from you... I predict some interesting spelling of words.
Sure.
I predict some grammatical structure that is not correct, but
Reddit, baby.
It works just fine for Reddit. I think we're going to get some tales. Like, it'll be difficult to say if it was real or not, but it was real to that person.
Yeah.
You mentioned cryptids. You mentioned UFOs. You mentioned ghosts. You also mentioned, like, you didn't say Bigfoot, but, like, Bigfoot's in there.
I lumped him in with the cryptids, which might be sacrilegious to some people, but...
Sure, but we're not part of that community. I think we're going to get some weird dreams, and my last prediction is... Like, it's true in one of my tales, but I wonder if your tales involve, like, multiple people. Like, if there's anyone else to corroborate these
like
things.
Like, my relationships?
No, not like that. Like, if there's, like, another person present in the story. Two
right,
people
like in my relationships.
Right, David. So, our first tale...
Yeah, who's going first? Or are we
from
coin
user,
flipping it?
Atrios? Atrios.
Acheros?
Acheros? Yeah, I mean, listen, these are usernames. This is his favorite anime character that we've never heard of, okay?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
I'm sure we're doing... also, David, I have learned from your polyamorous ways. I made everyone give us permission to tell these tales. Okay?
I love that. I saw. I was just like quickly scrolling through this document. I see one of the first sentences in every little section says, "I give permission for you to read this story," and I love that so much.
They know what's happening. I haven't quarrelled.
I just really appreciate that you went into the Word document and typed the sentence, "I give permission to read this story," in front of every story that you got sent.
I made them write, "I give permission for the following tale to be told," which means I knew that they read the prompt up above.
Because it says it that specific way. Yeah.
It has to specifically say that. One of the stories did it, but I think they edited it, and I think I added it. But if it doesn't, we'll strike it from the record, okay?
Sure.
Because I only want permissionable tales.
Yeah,
to be
thank
here.
You for your consent, everybody who submitted stories. And I guess before I even know the content of these stories, thank you for submitting these stories.
Thank you so much for making this podcast happen. Because
if later
you,
I hate them, then don't. I still said thank you. So thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, he still said thank you.
Okay. So Acheros.
Tale number one. I give permission for the following tale to be told.
Yes.
So, I've told this story before, but it's never really went anywhere, and I'm sure nobody remembers me anyway. So, let's goo!
Love it.
I believe is what that says.
Yep.
I also like...
So, this is a story about Slimer.
That's right. it says that this story didn't go anywhere. Like, what? Hollywood didn't come and knock
he
it?
He shopped it around. He got a couple nibbles, but no one really greenlit the project. So
he got a development deal, but then Hollywood strike happened and just like, oh, what are you supposed to do? So this all happens a few years ago, maybe 3 or 4. I forgot the exact year, but it happened during the peak of COVID.
It's easy to forget details, that COVID fog brain, you know?
You got that fog inside of there, just like that scary movie, COVID fog. This is, COVID is all just one big, like, a blip on the timeline. You know what I mean? I also can't parse the days, you know what I mean?
COVID ruined how my brain works. Like, not, like, in the sense that, like, I got COVID and now I have, like, COVID foggy brain. Like, sometimes maybe. But, like, I just mean, like, I feel like I can't... The world before and the world after are too different. And I still am having trouble reconciling what I am doing with anything.
I totally
Let's
hear
get
you.
Deep. Let's go.
We were all on, like... Yeah, I mean, this person will also be experiencing some of this. So we're going to listen to some of their COVID troubles. But, like, yeah... I very clearly had a path I was on and was, like, executing things to get me on that path. And then I, like, fell off the path. Like, the path just got erased in front of me.
And
that
part of
me
is even like, what the fuck? I don't even want to know if I want to do the path, you know? Like,
the path was so hard to walk. You have to, you just have to like throw some sand on it like Indiana Jones to get back onto it. But let's encourage everybody because Arceus was also having a difficult time.
Sounds like a Pokemon.
Well, listen, this is not a Pokemon life. This is a hard trainer life. But listen,
Here we go.
My life was kind of in shambles. Roommates stealing from me and denying it. Friendships falling apart or just fading into non-existence. David's roommates always actively told them they were not that they were stealing from him and were not going to pay it back.
That was the main difference. Yeah, mine were always like, "Hey, I took your money," and I was like, "Thank you for letting me know.
Thank you for telling me." Working a shitty dead-end job where I was working above my station and my managers refusing to give me a promotion to officially do the job I was already doing because they didn't want to pay me more.
Ain't that just the way?
Ain't that just the way? The only good thing that happened was I reconnected with an old friend. She was living in Georgia. I live in Oregon for reference.
Okay, that's still pretty far away. That's almost as far away as you can get in the continental United States.
I was about to say, that's almost like she doesn't exist.
Top left to bottom right, you know?
Yeah, that's pretty far. I had a crush on her since we were kids and told her this.
Aww.
And she had no idea and we started dating long distance.
Mazel tov.
They're married. we started watching that Twin Flames documentary. Ugh. Just like conning people and to be like, the first person you love, David, that's your twin flame and you need to pursue them. Even if the law says you shouldn't be pursuing them.
Okay.
A few months later, things are getting worse to the point of considering suicide. Oh, I'm okay, guys. I'm okay now, guys. I promise.
Okay.
So I resolved to just pack up what little I had and fly down to Georgia to be with my now ex-girlfriend.
Oh, no. What a turnaround. Oh, man. I'm on such a roller coaster.
I know. You were like, oh, this is the love of his life. No, nope, this is just another downturn. Now, I don't believe in ghosts or the supernatural, but she does and swore up and down her house was haunted.
Ding, ding, ding. My first prediction already true.
I chalked it up to stress, but I saw more things in the house like shadows moving in the corners of my vision, putting something somewhere and turning around and suddenly being in a completely different place, etc.
Sure.
But the weirdest thing that happened to me was just sort of a nested dream.
Okay.
For clarity, that's where there's one Russian dream inside of another Russian dream inside of another Russian dream. It's a lot of sauerkraut and sour milk things in these dreams. For clarity, her bed was against the wall across from the door, which we usually close before going to bed in case, you know, stuff happened. So if you're, but like, does she have roommates? Or just like, you close the door so the ghosts can't see?
Or maybe like, just maybe the front door? Maybe you feel weird, like, there only being a front door between the world and your intimate times.
Yeah, but there's always just a front door between you and the intimate times. You don't
sometimes
need
you can have a
barrier.
Second door. If you go into like the bedroom, you can shut the bedroom door. Now
oh no, I want, I need an open, no, I need an open pathway. I need an escape route.
I agree, door's open.
So if you're sleeping in bed and sit up or just have a perfect view of the door and the living room that leads to it.
Okay. So, oh, that it leads. Okay. The door, living room that it leads to. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just
so,
like
oh,
you said.
Oh, okay.
Just
so
like
so this isn't the front door. This is the bedroom door.
Yeah. And so I also bed. Like, yeah. And I also, I guess we, I was picturing some Victorian house. No, this is some like bungalow. You know what it's I mean? Apartment, like you get you know? To see across the place. Yeah. So I went to sleep like normal.
For the time which
meant sleeping at odd hours and being constantly stressed. Mm-hmm. I had some of the worst sleep of my life in those. But again, I chalked this up to stress and anxiety. I woke up in the middle of the night to see that the door was open and there was a shadow man standing in the doorway. Based on the size of the door frame, I guess he was around 6'5 or so.
Jesus.
This is a shadow giant.
Yeah.
I remember very consciously having the thought that I still must be asleep and didn't want to deal with some fucking shadow man haunting my dreams.
Okay.
So I laid my head back down to sleep.
Yeah, yeah.
You know when you have a lucid dream or in the state of dreaming where you know you're dreaming and are falling asleep in the dream will wake you up? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was going for that. Laid back down, went back to sleep, and woke up a few hours later. Everything was back to normal, and I never saw the Shadow Man again. Oh. I brought this up to my girlfriend, and she basically just shrugged and went, "Oh yeah, he's the Shadow Man. He's probably just checking in or something to that effect." The end.
Okay.
That's the story of the Shadow Man.
David. My last note here.
Perfect. Well, those notes equal lessons, which means it's time to go to lessons.
Lessons.
Okay. Love it. Short and sweet. Short and almost sweet. Bittersweet, because I'm sorry.
Because the relationship did not work out. Yeah.
But, you know, you took a chance. You took a gamble. Sounds like you're doing better now. So good on you, Acheros. Which brings me to my first lesson, which was just, if you need help, ask for it.
Absolutely.
You know, we kind of blew right through the middle part because this person themselves was like, it's okay, everything's fine, don't worry about it. Moving on. It wasn't the point of the story, but there you go.
I think that's a good lesson. If you see something, say something. If you see someone to help, someone needing help, go help them.
And if you see you need help, then say something about that.
David, that's why I've broken all of the mirrors in my home. I can't see anything.
Now he can talk to whatever wall he wants.
I have to hide my tiny window inside of this Google window so I can't see myself. I can only see you right now.
Did you just say your tiny window?
It's a video. It's a video window, so that absolutely makes sense. You know what I mean?
I thought you were just choosing to speak with like a Dutch accent for like a word, and then that was it.
No, it came out like that, so I'm here to justify it.
My second lesson is tell your crush you're crushing.
Yeah.
Go for it. Unless, obviously, if there's some extenuating circumstance, like they're in a committed marriage or something.
I disagree with you.
Or they're a celebrity and they don't know you.
Sure. Listen, I disagree with you. I say shoot that shot.
I say shoot your shot more often than not.
Unless they're in a committed relationship,
unless there's like a clear reason you shouldn't.
I don't know if they're into it. Maybe you're into it. Who knows? Well, I don't know what I'm implying here. Okay, I don't want anyone to ruin people's marriages.
Exactly. That would be a discussion for everyone involved in that marriage at that point.
Sure.
But hey, if that works out, it works out. So the story. I'm going to segue from lessons to. Actually, no. I'm going to do that at the end. Okay. So
you're going to use a segue, I'm going to use a skateboard. Okay.
Wonderful.
Okay, cool.
My next lesson is, if I can't see you, you can't see me.
Yes, yeah. Right?
He saw the Shadow Man. Just, cover yourself, cover your eyes. You're good to go. And then my last lesson is not all Shadow Men are dangerous.
Yeah.
This guy, he's here to just check things out, just to make sure everything's on the up and up.
Some Shadow Man or woman, they might just be like checking things out, wanting to make sure how their old house is doing.
Yeah. So this story reminds me of an experience I had as a teenager.
Shut the fuck up, David. Shut the fuck up. So you have a Shadow Man story.
I have a Shadow Man story. So I was in my bedroom.
Okay, wait. What's your username?
Let's see. Back then. I'm going to go back from back then. Teenage days. Troutguy53.
Oh, Trout Man. Okay, here we go, Trouty.
Trout Guy, but yeah. Okay. So I was in my room, I was maybe like 14 or so, and I was sleeping. So I do think that part of this is like, I was having a dream and I woke up from the dream. But I was sleeping and then I felt like I woke up and I was like laying in my room facing the wall, like on my side facing the wall. And I could tell, I was so sure that there was a figure standing behind me. Now, being the 14-year-old I was in the way I was raised, I was like, that's fucking Satan, right? That's the devil. Because that's the only other thing. There's no, like, I'm not like, oh my god, and a monster. It's like, no, it's the real monster I've been told is real.
Right.
So I'm like, oh my god, it's right behind me. I could tell there's like a big body behind me. And so I... As a 14-year-old, I was like, okay, 1, 2, 3. And I immediately turned as fast as I could and tried to punch it in the face. But it was gone. The end. That's the end of my story.
Great, let's go to lessons. I wrote Jesus works in mysterious ways. You claim one experience, but the All-Father has a much different experience, and he was just checking up on you and giving you a little kiss while you're sleeping.
Yeah.
Which is another note that we say in story time all the time. Do not kiss sleeping people.
They do not know
that you're standing there. Don't do it. You should get permission. Just like I give David permission to do our second tale from the Chilluminati podcast.
But before we do, we have to say, does this story pass the sniff test?
Oh, for sure.
I say yes. I mean, I literally have had a similar experience. So yes absolutely, that Shadow Man is real.
I think that the Shadow Man happened. I think that the credit card receipts are in. I think he traveled from Georgia back to Oregon and back again. I hope your life is in a much better spot now. And I hope you got the help that you needed. Glad to know that you are no longer having dark thoughts.
Yeah, for sure. Never mind. I was going to... Alright.
Alright, David, what user are you telling a tale from?
My story is going to be from user The Scare Lab.
Yeah.
Which sounds like a company, so now I'm already suspicious.
The Scare Lab is a place where you can trick people with fake DNA tests. Like, they write to you and be like, hey, we have some DNA results you need to see.
The Scare Lab is the rough draft, the first draft name for creepy crawlers.
The Scare Lab is what Monsters, Inc. turned into. We're a laboratory where we make scares for children.
The Scare Lab is where they invent new and cool innovations in how to move from one floor to the floor above you, but they spelled the name wrong.
The Scare Lab is a canceled improv show that David and I tried to get off the ground, and it never really got to.
Yeah, great. All right.
We had one good show and one bad show.
Yep. This was a good bit. I enjoyed that. So my story, not my story, but the Scare Lab story.
Oh, David, you're the Scare Lab. Oh my goodness.
The Scare Lab. All right, let me just make a note on my thing here, the Scare Lab.
You're already making lessons.
All right. Hi, Michael. Nice to see you here.
Okay, first off, they never saw me. I mean, I understand the sentiment, but I have never seen
the
Scare Lab.
They're responding to a post. You posted on the Reddit?
Yes, but I didn't post a picture of myself.
Sure. Oh, I see. Okay. This was read out by the boys on the Chilluminati podcast a while back, but I'm happy for it to be told on your podcast too, as the more people that hear it, the more likely I am to actually get an answer. So we've got a mystery ahead of us.
Yeah, love a mystery.
This was posted by myself on a different account that I no longer use. I give permission for the following tale to be told.
Yeah. Okay, keep going, David.
When I was a teenager, I used to enjoy going on random drives with my mother and her partner. We would get into the car, put on music, and drive around the local area. This was often done at night, as we found it quite calm and relaxing to be driving in the dark. On this particular night, we were driving in an area that we visited regularly, and we noticed some strange lights in the distance. We realized that the lights were down a small, dirt-covered road we hadn't driven down before. Always a good sign. This was a public access road. There were no signs stating that this was private property. There was no gate. It was an open road. We decided to do some investigating and turn down the road. As we started down the road,
I love the explanation of what public access means. Anyone can use this road.
It's not private property. We're allowed to go
here. No.
As we started down the road, the lights were closer, because that's what happens when you travel towards something.
That's right.
That was my insert there. The lights were closer, and we noticed one larger light in the center. We kept going, unsure of what it could have been. As we got closer, we only became more confused, and we turned off our music so as not to draw attention to ourselves.
Yeah, they had to turn down Steely Dan. They were like, this is way too loud for this moment.
I feel like I've got a clue about to this person or where this may have taken place, because in the center of a clearing, but center spelled C-E-N-T-R-E, like the European way.
Oh, they're British!
In the center of a clearing at the end of the road, there was a large glowing orb. It looked like a huge balloon that they had inflated, covered with a cloth, and then tied the cloth to the ground with ropes to stop it from floating. We noticed that there were some individuals in what looked like inflatable suits with smaller glowing orbs covering their heads. They were moving slowly around the larger orb, almost as if they were in some kind of trance. These were the sources of the lights we had spotted in the distance, the glowing helmets on these inflatable suits. We rolled down our windows slightly as we tried to figure out what we were seeing. We didn't know if this was some kind of show we weren't aware of, or if this was something we were not supposed to see. We didn't want to get out of the car if we weren't welcome, so we decided to wait a couple moments and see what happened. As we rolled down the windows, we noticed a faint chanting coming from the clearing. As we watched, we noticed there were a smaller number of people around who were not in the inflatable suits. One of these people eventually turned to face us. As he noticed us, a couple of other people present also began to turn and notice we were there. I'm going to pause and say, this is just reminding me of, like, Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Oh, yes, this is all terrifying at this point.
They begin to slowly approach our car, and they didn't appear to be welcoming us to the show. The feeling we had was that we were trespassing, and they intended to make us leave. During their approach, we saw another unsuited group closer to the orb, and they were carrying another individual towards it. For what purpose, we didn't want to know. The group of people got closer to us, so we reversed, turned around, and drove out of there as fast as we could. As we left, I turned around in the back seat and could see the orb had been released and was floating higher, with the crowd staring up and the suited figures dancing around it, as well as the group who had approached us now running as if they were trying to catch up to us. We managed to get away without having to talk to any of those people, but to this day we don't know what it was, what they were doing, and what they would have done if they caught us. All we know for sure is that we were not welcome, and we were not supposed to have seen that. I can't help but wonder what happened to the person they carried towards the orb. P.S. When I first wrote this out, I called my mother and asked her to tell me what we had seen that night. I didn't tell her I'd written this. I just asked her to tell me in her own words what we saw. Her partner was sat with her, and he confirmed what she was saying. It lined up perfectly with what I had written. If it wasn't for the fact that all three of us witnessed it and were able to recall the same details separately without the inclusion of confirmation bias, I'd have been convinced it was a dream. The end.
That is some high strangeness to the highest degree.
Yeah.
I want to just talk about what would you do if you saw something like that? Because that's all really terrifying.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean,
The orb helmets are weird.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. I mean, it's all like, what is an inflatable suit? Like, I'm picturing, like, a hazmat suit? Like, is that, you know what I mean? Like,
right, or is it like a Jules Verne, like a scuba suit, like an old-timey one?
Or is it like one of those T-Rex suits, you know?
Right, well, I think this is pre-T-Rex
suit. Not a T-Rex suit, but like the same kind of idea. So I don't know. It sounded to me, the description of the orb where it was like a balloon covered in a tarp and held with ropes, I was like, oh, you saw a hot air balloon. Like, that's a hot air balloon.
But this sounds almost like a UFO or something like that.
Sure,
like
these are obviously, like, yeah,
projected images of what they were allowed to see.
They didn't mention that there was like a basket or something under the balloon, so that...
No, they mentioned no baskets, even though this would be something that might get you put away for being a basket case, because this is a far out there story.
Yeah.
That being said, I've got some lessons for you.
Okay.
Lessons.
Have multiple accounts.
Yeah.
You don't need to have all of your movements tracked online. Have a personal account. Have a private account. Have a troll account. Get those multiple accounts before the one world government shuts down on all those things.
It's funny that that's what she meant by accounts, because when you said have multiple accounts, I thought you were talking about how he, like, confirmed with the other people that they also saw this thing. So they
Reddit accounts. Yeah, sure. But that lesson also works in hindsight for the larger lesson at play as well. I wrote, use your headlights while driving. Listen, it's a dark road. You mentioned all these other lights. You should also have your headlights on. It might have helped this story out. I wrote, and I just feel like this is something that I personally... is a lesson I live by, but I'd love to impart this on you and the audience. Don't fuck with cults. Like, if you see a group of people in matching outfits and they're doing something shady, get the fuck out of
there. Like, in a field in the middle of the night, you know? Like,
there's nothing for you there. Even if it is a prosaic explanation, get out of there.
Yeah.
That being said, I did write, coordinate your outfits with your friends. There's nothing more fun than, like, all of us being, like, a Power Rangers squad and matching outfits.
Yeah, what if they were carrying that one person to the orb just because they had spare suits back there?
Yeah, what if they just had extra suits and they were like, everyone suit up, it's time for an orb party. Now, this is something I will ask you. I learned this, but you can let me know if it's real or not. Europe is crazy.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Europe is a crazy place. They've had civilization too long.
Weird stuff can happen out in a field in the middle of nowhere.
They do wacky stuff. They've been doing wacky stuff for a long time. There's been a lot of people there, so who knows what they've been channeling.
Yeah, yeah.
And then my last lesson, and I feel like this is a David lesson, don't label your relationships. Mom's in a relationship with partner.
Yeah,
that's good enough. Why do we have to label everything?
It's well, you know, maybe they never got married, so it's not like that's my stepdad, right? So
David, it's working for them. They're enjoying family outings in the night with these orb folks. I think that that's great. Just keep enjoying that relationship and see where it goes.
Yeah.
David, does this story pass the sniff test?
This one is harder for me to sniff out than the previous story.
Yeah.
It's weirder. It's a weirder story. You know, and so I want to say, like, it should... I'm not calling this person a liar, but, like, if this did happen...
We're not calling you a liar to however, your face, okay?
Definitely false. No, but... if this did happen, like... You know, obviously I'm thinking, like, there has to be a reason. Maybe it was some weird little town festival. Maybe it was some weird little cult out in the middle of the fucking countryside. And it's like, good job, good thing you guys got out of there, because they would have been, like, really weird to you. I don't think that they just made it up, necessarily. It was when they were a kid, right? They were, like...
Do you think this is some sort of screened memory? This is what the UFO left inside of their brains?
Well, I was just going to say, like, over time, you change the details in your mind. Your memory is quite fallible. So, like, maybe the suits were, like, maybe they were, like, cleaning up a spill or something. And so they're wearing hazmat suits, but that looks like alien suits. And they've got a big, like, tanker thing, but from the angle you're at in the field, it just looks like a big bulb, you know?
I love that the explanation is, listen, this is a normal chemical spill that no one ever reported on, that they did in secret. Your story is just as terrifying as this being a paranormal thing, so you don't give me any more confidence. All right,
so I will say on the merits of, do I think that they had this experience? Yes, it passes the sniff test. Do I think they encountered aliens? No.
I also say that this passes the sniff test. Did you encounter aliens? No. Did you encounter high strangeness that don't have an answer for? Hell yeah. Because this is crazy, and I would love to know what mom and partner thought of all of this, or what their recollections were of all of this.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it is time for me to recollect our next story.
By recollection, sure, yeah.
From user Aaron Espo 10, he's the best of the Aaron Espos, there's nine other ones.
At least he's the 10th one.
At least he's the 10th in the line. Good to hear you on Chilluminati again, Santel. I've enjoyed your work since Super Couch Fighters. The following is a tale of weird I experienced out of the blue, unprovoked on an autumn day, but requires a bit of context before telling the rest.
I do love that. I love, because some people, you know, they provoke the weird. Driving down a dirt road you've never been down before in the middle of the night, that's provoking weird. This is unprovoked weird.
Is that what your family taught you, David? That if you go provoking the weird, weird shit's going to happen to you?
Don't go provoking weird or you're going to get the weird.
First, Midwest resident here growing up in a stereotypical small town in USA that does not have a dark history in the shadow.
That does have a dark history.
Does have a dark history in the shadow of Chicago, just an hour away. Also, okay. I give permission for all content of this post to be used in any manner of the tale to be told.
Okay,
David,
sure.
We can do whatever we want. We can make t-shirts. We can make comic books. We can do whatever the fuck we want to.
The first monetization we will ever do is to try to make money off of this moment.
Hollywood's open, David! Let's get that money! This practical recollection happens on that road that exists in almost every small town.
Okay.
The road has not been has been assigned the urban legend. Okay. Ours takes the form of a hookman story. The car breaks down on a desolate country road. Then either the man in the story gets out of the car to see what's wrong with it and is murdered by a man with a hook hand, or the car magically restarts and they get home to find a hook hand that has been ripped off and is still attached to the door.
Yeah, yeah.
Classic. I never grew up with any hook man tales.
It's not exactly the same, but it's similar to like the urban legend that I had heard growing up, which is like
murder
fists, the machete guy in the back seat of the car.
Sure.
That like, yeah, I think the story was like, woman is driving at night along like a windy road or something, and there's a car behind her a bit back, and every now and then it shines its brights, and she keeps being like, what the fuck is your problem? Like turning around.
Oh, David, that's gang warfare, David. That's a gang. Those are Crips or Bloods.
No. And then
get out of there.
Eventually she's like, man, what the hell? And then it happens over and over and over again. And so then she pulls over, and then this other car pulls over, and she gets out. She's like, what is the problem? Like, why do you keep flashing your brights? And whoever was driving behind,
they roll down the window. They can hear Dr. Dre and the weed smoke comes out the window.
They're like, every time I shine my brights, it's because I saw a man in the backseat of your car, like coming up with like a machete, and I was trying to warn you with my brights. And then they go and they look in the backseat of the car, and there's no one there, but there is a machete.
You heard that story? That's a story someone conveyed to you?
I heard that story growing up. Someone told me that when I was like six, and I was like, whoa.
That's a terrifying story. Dad and a cousin die while hitchhiking, so I was always told never to hitchhike.
Sure.
And I can only assume that other people are bad people. So I was just always scared of other drivers because they have machetes inside of their cars.
Yeah. Yeah, but Hook Hand Man fits right into that sort of narrative, yeah.
Well, we live in LA, so again, if someone does this, you might be gang initiated. So don't do it. You're going to get jumped in, and then you'll never get out of
that. Don't flash your brights for no reason at people.
Yeah, yeah. You have to have a real reason, like there's a hook man in the car.
Like a hook hand man, yeah.
Either way, the story happened in reality.
The story never happens in reality, is the sentence.
Either way, the story never happens in reality. Other than the story David was told, but he says it's not real.
Not real.
What did happen on the road is a few bodies have been dumped there after a murder had occurred off-site. Ooh. Very tragic and dark history, but nothing aside from that has happened on the road. Well, aside from the weird GeoCities-like website that listed the tiny, like, pond it runs the perimeter of as being haunted by a pirate ship and a pirate captain. More on that later.
But it's, good, I'm glad, because a tiny pond with its own pirate ship is such a funny idea to me.
But it's extremely unbelievable, not only by the size of the lake/pond, but it's located between 15-plus miles from Lake Michigan, and no reason to have a ship of that of any kind. And to think that we are prepared for the story now.
Okay, David, so that was our context.
Maybe that's the idea that we rip off. It's like pirates, but they have a ship, but it's only in like a tiny lake.
Pond can't.
They
go
can't
anywhere.
Do anything. You know what I mean? Like, just don't go mess with those pirates. As a kid in a rural town, I had places to go and things to do long before I was 16, and a lot of distance to cover in between. So, at 15, I had a moped to help navigate around.
Solid.
Now that urban legend road, Hookman's Road, as we call it locally, or Lake Road in real life,
Is that or Lake Road or Lake Road? Like,
ooh, I don't know.
O-R-R. You're right. I gotta Google Maps this shit.
Google it, because you also grew up on a haunted road called Lake Forest Road, and that's also been very haunted.
Yeah, dude. That's in.
Do not dox this person. It could be. It says near Lake Michigan. Don't those lakes go both ways?
So there's
don't
one
they
in
like boys and girls?
There's one in.
David, okay, so we're not doxing this person. Stop naming places.
I can bleep that.
Oh, okay, that's good. Yeah, yeah, bleep all these things then.
I could see,
It could be in Nova Scotia.
There is a little pond. Pond next to the one I saw just now, so I think I know where it is.
Was a super convenient route between my house and my friend's house. I used to always take weird paths to my friend's house.
Sure.
We'd have like hills behind our house that would, get to someone's house easier.
Yeah, we had a creek behind our house.
You had a creek?
A creek behind our house that like ran, and then there was like houses on one side of the creek and houses on the other side of the creek, and if you went down the creek you can get up into a bunch of different neighborhoods.
We had a bunch of undeveloped land that later on became developed, but it was just like dirt and stuff like that. It was the best place to ride your bike.
Yeah.
I had heard stories, of course, growing up there, but never quite understood why they existed. Sure, if it was a country road, particularly occluded by a woodsy canopy that ran the perimeter of a swampy pond slash lake.
Yeah.
However, people lived on the beginning and ends of the road. It was just a country road. No reason to have an association with anything other than connecting a few routes. So, you don't have to justify what roads
are. I want to know more about what we need country roads for and what we don't need them for.
Country roads, I don't know. I mean, there's songs about country roads. I just don't know if they know what to do with these country roads. So there I was riding along the usual route I took to go visit my friend's house in the country. I snaked through and slowed down for the sharp corners until I got to a particular stretch with a small clearie on the left. Hmm. You know, you got to go fast. You know, when you're a kid, when you ride your bike, you always feel like you're doing a million miles per hour.
I mean, I'm going to admit to you right now that I didn't really ride my bike.
What? You weren't a bike kid?
No, I tried multiple times to like learn how to ride a bike and then like gave up because I was like, I hate falling off a bike. So I didn't learn how to ride a bike until I was 12, almost 13, and then decided I cannot be a teenager who can't ride a bike. So I forced myself to finally learn, and then once I got it down, I was like, great, and then I never rode a bike again.
By the time you had learned, you basically was already time to start driving a car, though.
I haven't really ridden a bike meaningfully ever.
You've never sat down and like talked with your feelings with a bike and said like, this is how I feel, I want to sit on you. You've never had that conversation?
I just can't make that connection, you know?
I feel you. I love that bikes are like your urban version of a horse, both of which you don't
like. I don't want it.
Anything between your legs that you have to straddle with, like on a, I don't know, like what do you call it, like a T position, you're like, get that shit out of here. I can't deal with that. To my surprise, a man sat there on a fallen tree stump eating a sandwich.
Okay.
This is bizarre to see. Not only do you rarely see a pedestrian on a country road, but you rarely see the presence of anything this far away from the city, let alone relaxed and having a snack. The man just stared at me as I trotted on by with the little whine of my little engine, but it was a creepy leer, not just a glance. I pictured the engine being like, it's like, why?
It's a moped, so it's a motor, but it's not a super powerful motor.
Yeah,
so
it sounds like your little sister when you like when you take things away from her, like, Demon!
Oh, yeah.
Face locked onto me, sandwich in hand, tracking my movements with an uncomfortable, particularly grin on his face.
Partial grin.
Haggard looking and disheveled as the man was, my mind began asking questions and started hunting for clues. Why was he here? Unknown. Stopping to have a sandwich and take in the countryside. How did he get here? My eyes quickly darted around to find the means of transportation. No bike, no moped, no car. Just sitting 8 to 10 feet from the road on a stump. I then noticed that the man was missing a leg. Surely he didn't walk here. I didn't even see crutches or a walker. Maybe they were laid down, but doubtful. I didn't see them.
Okay.
I don't look for those things. You know what I mean? I never assume that those things are nearby either way. So okay.
If you like saw a guy sitting on a tree stump, eating a sandwich, and you notice that he only had one leg, your first thought isn't, I need to find his crutches lying around.
I just assume he took off his prosthetic leg. It was bothering him. He was hot.
Sure.
I had passed by him about 20 feet and had just had to make myself glance back. Sure enough, still there and still staring.
Story writer's note, it would have been scarier if he had disappeared.
David, I pulled back on the throttle and continued my ride. I reached the end of the road with all manner of thoughts bouncing around in my head, and I absolutely could not make sense of any of that.
Sure.
How does a one-legged man with no transportation means travel into the woods to eat a sandwich? Why did you make me feel so uncomfortable?
He went out there to eat the sandwich.
David, I am here to eat the sandwich. I would like a nice spot to do so. So, Brave and young, I immediately turned around and began to drive back for the sake of my own sanity.
Okay, see, now this is where you're provoking the weird.
As I neared the stretch I spotted him in, I began to think of my next step. What would I do when I got there? I decided I would just drive on by to confirm what I saw. I rounded the bend to the open area and nothing. No one-legged man, no sandwich, just an empty stump.
Aha, he took my note.
I just stopped. T-Mobile, get the fuck out of here. I apologize, David. I thought it was like something that was important. It came up on my computer. Get out of here. I rounded the bend to open around. No trampled grass, no disturbance, no sticks, no twigs, no mud on the road. Just nothing. Oh, this kid is some sort of tracker in the woods. He knows for those signs.
Yeah.
The end of the road where I had turned around was probably no more than a mile from the spot. It was highly unlikely that anyone, especially a one-legged man, would have been from sitting to standing to completely gone in less than 2 to 3 minutes. I kicked the moped back on and continued down the road, taking a sharp 90-degree turn, nothing as far as the eye could see. So, I'm left with this story. Did anything happen? No. I saw a weird homeless-looking one-legged man sitting on a stump in the middle of the woods eating a sandwich. However, I have no way to explain what I saw. All logic kind of floats away from the situation when I try to piece it together. He never said a word, just stared, and then he was gone. Circling back to the earlier promise for later to pay off, that random website from the 90s and early 2000s listed that spot as potentially haunted by a pirate ship / ghost.
The ghost of a pirate who only has one leg?
Had I just seen the pirate captain? There was no peg leg, just a missing leg.
Well, the peg wouldn't have a ghost, it's a stick.
Yet, the irony of the story was not lost on me. I have taken and continued to take the road countless number of times in the years, years that have came. Even to this day, it is a route that I take a shortcut to the apple orchard. I have never once seen a single person on that road in any manner at any time I pass the clearing. I see the eyes of the one-legged man looking back at me.
Okay.
David. Yeah. The end.
Yeah.
It's a spooky tale.
Yeah.
It's a spooky tale because it's one of those things. First off, this passed the sniff test, regardless if it was supernatural
Wait,
or not.
I'm gonna weigh in on the sniff test. I'm gonna wait until after my lessons.
This kid saw a one-legged man and it freaked the shit out of him.
Yeah.
Okay, yep. David, then if that's the case, let's go to your lessons.
Okay.
Lessons.
Lesson one. Country roads have specific uses.
Very specific uses. They should be used for country activities and only country activities.
Yeah, and you can only live at the end of a country road. You should never be on the country road except to travel to your friend's house.
It could be a bypass.
Or the apple orchard.
To your friend's house or the apple orchard. That's it. No development should ever be had there.
Yeah. All right. Next lesson. Any strange adult is scary to a kid.
100%.
That is the first thing. He's like, I came running. I saw a guy sitting on a tree and I was like, ooh, spooky. And it's like, yeah, you saw a guy. But as a kid, you're like, ooh.
We teach children stranger danger. Stranger friend. Not stranger. Ask how he's doing. Go have a conversation. Stranger danger.
You know what I really wanted to know is what kind of sandwich was it?
Right. Are we talking like, right. I totally agree with you. Are we talking some like mom made square bread cut into triangles? Or are we talking like a Jersey Mike's hoe
right,
boy?
A sub. Yeah. And another thing is if this was a pirate ghost, I don't know that the pirate would be eating a sandwich. Like,
yes, but he would maybe eating some sort of hard tack or biscuit with some sort of dried meat.
Sure.
That this.
Sure.
2022 person thought was a sandwich, but that could have just been some sort of pirate lunch.
Yeah. Next lesson. Don't provoke the weird.
D- See, you keep saying this, David.
This person literally said, this is unprovoked weirdness. And then in the story was like, so then I turned back around to go see it again. And it's like, no, sir. You provoked this weird.
But there was nothing there. They didn't provoke the weird. The weird was gone.
The weird became weird because he disappeared. If you went back and there was still a guy sitting there eating a sandwich, you'd be like, yeah, that man still is sitting there eating a sandwich. But now it's weird because he's gone. And yeah, so he provoked the weird.
See, I took a different lesson. I think that you need to respect our veterans. You should have thanked that man for his service. You should have said, I appreciate what you did.
In the service.
He fought in Iraq. He fought in Afghanistan. That man deserves your respect, David.
What year did this take place?
Great question. I have no idea.
My next one is don't underestimate a one-legged man's speed.
Yes, I also agree.
He went a mile down the road and then a mile back to where he was, and he's like, "There's no way this guy could have gotten away from here." He's like, "Maybe."
I know how heavy I am, but if you were to remove the 5 to 7 pounds that my leg is, I could move at a brisk pace.
I'm gonna ask you be honest with me. You think your leg only weighs 5 to 7 pounds?
My leg weighs more than that. I feel like all my fat in my
your head weighs 8 pounds on average.
David, if you're telling me that my leg weighs between 10 and 15 pounds, I'm telling you I'd be the fucking fastest person if I were to just remove that weight from my body. So I agree with you, David. Do not underestimate the handicapable speed.
Yeah. And then my last lesson is, what if, don't count out the idea or the possibility that this is a Sixth Sense situation, he's the ghost.
Oh, that kid's the ghost!
Or this is either the Sixth Sense or the others. Take your pick. But he's the ghost, and the guy on the stump eating the sandwich was creeped out by the ghost on a moped.
Yeah, that kid lost his life. That's why he never noticed.
Because he kept going down this country road.
Yeah, his whole life, and it's like he's like he hasn't seen any development because he's stuck in some sort of time loop.
Okay, That was my last lesson, and then so my sniff test is basically what this person said, which is, did I see a homeless-looking man sitting on a tree eating a sandwich? Yes. Yes, you did. That's what happened.
Yes, okay. Well, there you go. David, I had no... This is our first time doing this, so yeah. I didn't know how to gauge these stories. But David, it looked like we get to do Chaluminati X Storytime Podcast Part 2!
There's a number more on here.
Yes, and there's more weird that we should get involved with. So for that, let's call this one here. We'll put a pin in it. And we'll have some more tales for everyone live from the Chaluminati subreddit.
I mean, you use the term live very liberally.
Yeah. Well, listen, we're alive. Our audience is alive, but we are.
Maybe, unless they're ghosts.
David, we're trampling into weirdness, so I think it's time to call this episode here. That way we don't go down any more paths. I don't know what's going to happen. You live alone. You know what I mean?
I do.
If you'd like to hear my ghost story, go listen to me over on the Chaluminati podcast that I did with Alex.
Yeah.
I tell him my weird story that happened in the night. Thank you for sharing yours. David, I think we should troll more subreddits and ask for stories. I think
just
this
pop up in other already established communities and be like, hey.
I want to know what the Adam Carolla community is up to. I want to know what the... I just feel like they have stories to tell, and we are here for them. To all of you that have listened to us, thank you so much for giving us your ears.
This was a fun change of pace. I had no idea what we were doing today when we started recording.
Or your ghost ears. Don't fuck with the weird. Thank you for fucking with us.
With the weird is such a better way to say don't provoke the weird.
The one who had a shadow man over his bed watch him sleep. Well, that was David Miller.
And the one who called in every plane he ever saw as a UFO sighting. Well, that's Michael Santel.
I've seen 732 UFOs! Especially around that LAX In-N-Out burger. They're always around.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back with more Tales from the Weird. That is a promise.
Yeah, that was fun.
And we'll see all you kids and cats next time.
Okay.
Okay. Bye. Bye.
That's our show. Thanks for coming round. Don't be sad. No need to frown. We'll have more stories. Don't throw a fit. Goodbye, one and all, and we'll see you in a bit.
3, 2, 1, let's jam.
With guts.
Guts.
You can't do all of this new stuff and do a new
countdown. Okay, I apologize. I did Cowboy Bebop. That's not what we do around here.
I'm going to get fucked up now.
No, David, I need you. I need a regular David. 3, 2, 1, guts.